Right now, let's dive into our between Yom Kippur and Sukkot sugya, the sugya of Chinuch Ketana B'Mitzvos, a sugya which is strongly rooted in Maseches Sukkah and has a key footprint in Maseches Yuma as well. So you saw the opening Mishnah. It's one of the opening discussions in Maseches Sukkah is a question of Chinuch Ketana B'Mitzvos, the question of to what extent are boys under bar mitzvah and girls under bas mitzvah expected to actually fulfill, not only learn about, but actually practice and fulfill maase mitzvah in advance of bar or bas mitzvah? So that question, chinuch ketanah b'mitzvahs, it is one of the opening discussions, one of the opening sugyas of Masechta Sukkah, the Masechta that's Baruch Hashem, looming large in the best sense, as we're heading the last few days towards the Yontif of Sukkah. Of Sukkot. So it's one of the opening conversations is children and Sukkah. Because the Mishnah, the opening Mishnah, as you saw, has four dinim. What were the four? Who can tell me? Call it out or put it in the chat. What were the four dinim? Fantastic. So there's one halacha about the quality of the schach, one halacha about the walls, and two halachas about the height. The schach has to be, you have to have rov schach, you have to have a situation where it's more shade than sun, you have to have a situation where you have a minimum number of walls, at least three walls, and then in terms of the height, so there's a minimum and a maximum. The minimum is 10 tvachim, as you said, very good. And the maximum, as you pointed out, might be 20 amos. And that's of the four dinim in the opening Mishnah, the only one that's mutl b'machlokas in the Mishnah itself. The Mishnah presents the machlokas, Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda, or Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda. The opening line, Sukkah shigavol amalmi esrim alma psula. The Sukkah is over 20 amos is possible. Rabbi Yehuda machshir. So whether or not there is a maximum height is a debate amongst the Tanakh. Now the Mishnah, as is the Derech of Mishnayis, does not present any back and forth. There's rarely shock of the Tanakh Mishnayis itself. You just get points, facts, piskei halacha. Or in this case, a pair of shitas. Tanakhama holds above 20, if the sukkah is more than 20 amos tall, it's pasul. And Yehuda says, no, sukkah is more than 20 amos tall, it's still kosher. Machlok is whether or not you have this maximum cap on the height of the sukkah. So the Gemara gets involved in a beautiful sugya, not for right now. Three different, at least three, maybe four different approaches in Amorim. What's the rationale for the 20 amma max? We do pass like the Tanakhama, the 20 amma max. Why? What's that about? What's wrong with the sukkah that's 22 ammas tall? And then towards the bottom of Beis Amid Beis, the Gemara quotes the Braisa. In the midst of the Shaka Vitaria, a brisa that gives us a little more of the back and forth. The Mishnah just presented, Yehuda says kosher, Tanakhama says pasul, and the brisa already gives you a little more. In the brisa, three quarters of the way down, Beis and Beis, so the brisa presents, Yehuda says, Yehuda machshir ad abon v'chamish man, but could be 40, 50 amas high. Wow. Really, really tall. And then Rabbi Yehuda goes on to give basis for his shita. And the Mishnah just, that's what he said, kasher. But here we hear basis. Am Rabbi Yehuda, Maisa Behilani HaMalka Belud, a story with this righteous queen, Jewish queen, Queen Helen. She was in the town of Lud. The modern city of Lud is where Ben-Gurion Airport is, right near Tel Aviv. So she was in the city of Lud, and she had a sukkah that was way taller than 20 amos, and zakenim nechnasim yotzim. The Tamei Chacham were in Avor Sukkah, and no one said anything. No one said, you know, your Royal Highness, you really need to make the Sukkah shorter. And she was a very pious woman. She was a queen with Lav Yir Hashamayim, and she would have appreciated such a comment. It's not like they were scared to say, they were afraid for their lives if they make a comment about the queen, the Royal Sukkah, you know, instead of lowering the sukkah, they'll lower their heads. That was not a problem. She would have appreciated a halachic ha'ara. So why didn't they say anything? So Rabbi Yehuda says, obviously because it's kosher. Obviously because it's kosher. So the Chacham said to Rabbi Yehuda, nah, she wasn't chayevus in sukkah. Sukkah is a woman can volunteer the mitzvah of sukkah, ain't a mitzvah of yosa, but women are not mechuyavos in the mitzvah of sukkah. Queen Helen was a woman, and as such, she was not chayav in sukkah. So maybe, say the Chachamim, maybe really a sukkah does have to be not more than 20 amos tall. Aye, Hileni Hamalka, this royal sukkah that was 50, 60, 70 feet in the air, and no one said, boo, yeah, that's because she wasn't chayav in sukkah anyways. To which Rabbi Yehuda replies, who saw that Gemara? Was Rabbi Yehuda reply? No, my raya is a good raya, says Rabbi Yehuda, back to the Chachamim. No, the fact, my raya is a good raya. The fact that the Chachamim's silence was acquiescence. The Chachamim's silence was an indication that such a sukkah is kosher, because although she was not chayavis in sukkah, but she had seven sons. So her boys were chayav in sukkah. She had seven sons. At least some of them must have been old enough to have reached the age of chinuch. At least some of them must have been old enough to be chayav in sukkah, midrabanan, as a katan. And yet, ein potzeh peh mitzavtzeh. None of the Rabbanim told her, you know, for your boy's sake, you need to, this is a pasul of sukkah, you got to make it kosher, make it shorter. So Yehuda says, that's my raya. The silence of the Chachamim, they didn't criticize Queen Helen's sukkah, despite the fact that her sons were relying on the sukkah. So apparently her sons were allowed to rely on the sukkah. Apparently such a sukkah is a kosher sukkah. That's the first time in our Masechta that we hear about Chinuch Ketanah B'Mitzvahs, and we will, Emir Tzashem, return to this Ma'ar Makom. But right now, let's zoom out, because Chinuch Ketanah B'Mitzvahs, there are sugyas in the Gemara that discuss it. Here we have a Braisa that makes reference to it, but it's always kedai in learning. You come across a topic, it's kedai to ask yourself, where does this appear? Where's the earliest place that this appears? If something appears in Mishnayos, certainly a din d'rabbanan that's not going to appear in the Psukim, and not every din d'rabbanan appears in Mishnayos, that's fine, but it's kedai to be aware of, do the Tanaim talk about this explicitly? Is it here? It's a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah. As a matter of fact, it's two Mishnayos. That's not so common. But as you saw, Chinuch Ketanah B'Mitzvahs is both a Mishnah in Sukkah, later in Maseches Sukkah, as well as a Mishnah in Yuma. Let's take a look at each. And let me actually ask you a question. Would it be helpful if I put the Gemaras up on the screen? Give me a thumbs up if that would be helpful. Alrighty. There you go. Sukkah Membez Amud Aleph. So here's the first of two Mishnayos. Here the Mishnah on Membez Amud Aleph talks about several different topics in the context of Lulav. This is we were looking before at Sukkah Daf Bez Amud Aleph. The first two prakim of Maseches Sukkah are about the mitzvah of Sukkah, what makes a kosher sukkah, and at the end of the second parak, what are the dinim of using a sukkah, yeshiva b'sukkah. Then the third parak already pivots from the mitzvah of sukkah to the mitzvah of lulav. So here we are, deep into the third parak, Daf Membez Amud Aleph, and we have a Mishnah here. The end of the Mishnah, the last five words, Katan hayodei lena'anei chayiv belulav. You have a katan under bar mitzvah. Once he knows how to shake the lulav, how to do na'anuim, lulav and esrog, he is chayiv in lulav, even though he's under bar mitzvah. So there you have a direct reference to the chiyuv of chinuch ketanah b'mitzvah. It's a direct reference in a Mishnah that under bar mitzvah is still a mitzvah of a mitzvah drabbanon of chinuch. In terms of what the Mishnah tells us, it's kedai. In these five words, the Mishnah tells me a couple of things. Number one, the Mishnah tells me that there is a chiyuv chinuch. That's not just a nice idea. He's actually chayiv to do the mitzvah, even though he's under bar mitzvah. And the Mishnah obviously also adds what else? Not only that there's a chiyuv, but a key detail. What detail does the Mishnah add? Feel free to put it in the chat. Exactly. The Mishnah adds not only there's a chi of chinuch, but that there's an age for chinuch. Because the Mishnah says once a child's old enough to know how to do na'anuim, that's when chinuch begins. And if it's not clear in the Mishnah, it becomes eminently clear in the Braisa, the Tanna Rabbanan, a couple lines into the Gemara, where the Braisa begins to expand it. The Mishnah only spoke explicitly about lulav, when it perhaps could have imagined that if it does, lulav might not be unique. Maybe lulav is just an example, but the Mishnah doesn't make it clear. The Braisa makes it very clear. Tanna Rabbanan, katan yodei l'naneya. Katan hayodei l'naneya. Ave chayiv belulav, lehezatev chayiv betzitzes, lishmar tefillin, etc. That a child's old enough to know how to do nanuim lulav, the mitzvah, he has a chinuch on lulav. Old enough to be able to wear tzitzes properly, chinuch on tzitzes. Old enough to take good care of his tefillin, gufnaki, old enough mitzvah tefillin, to learn Torah, and so on and so forth. So the Braisa has a host of examples. The Braisa makes it clear this is not something unique to lulav. Lulav was an example the Mishnah gave, but this is a broad-based pan-halachic concept. This is a universal halachic concept that there's a chiyuv to be mechanech ketanim into shmiras hamitzus. The Braisa also makes it clear, expanding on the other element of the Mishnah, not only that there is a chiyuv chinuch, but that there are ages for chinuch, and that the age is not a particular number. It has to do with the capacity. It's not like there's a magic age. Chinuch starts at 9, chinuch starts at 6, chinuch starts in third grade. No. It has to do, it's per mitzvah, and it has to do with your capacity to do that particular mitzvah. Which again, the Mishnah had given an example. Yodei l'naneya chayiv b'luluv. Once you're old enough to be able to do na'anuim, which again, means to, old enough to be able to do the mitzvah fully. You can have a minimal kiyum mitzvah of lulav, even if you just hold it, the Gemara tells us. But the full mitzvah b'shleimus is not just to pick up a lulav and esrog, but to actually do the nanum, to shake them forward and backward, to the sides, up and down, etc. So once a child's old enough to have the capacity to fully perform the mitzvah b'shleimus, at that point, the chiyuv d'rabbanan of chinuch ketan b'mitzvahs kicks in. So that's what you see. The Mishnah, the first Mishnah we're looking at, the first Mishnah that again that talks explicitly about chinuch, the Mishnah Daf Beis that says nothing about chinuch. There's only the Braisa and Daf Beis and Beis that spoke about chinuch. But here we have a Mishnah Mem Beis Amud Aleph and Sukkah, explicit reference to chiyuv chinuch. And then the other Mishnah is this Mishnah, the top of Pei Beis Amud Aleph and Yuma. Yuma Pei Beis Amud Aleph. There are two Mishnayos. The second Mishnah in Pei Beis Amud Aleph, which is not our topic for now, the second Mishnah is about eating on Yom Kippur in cases of hazard. Someone is sick and he's eating Yom Kippur, so that sugya begins with a Mishnah on the bottom of Pei Beis. But we want the Mishnah right now on the top of Pei Beis. Mishnah says, here we are, Hatinokos ein ma'anin osam b'yom ha-kippurim, aval mechanchin osam l'fnei shana from the same shana sayim. Little kids, you should not pain them on Yom Kippur. You don't have to force them to fast. Now she says, "Ein chayavin l'mno mehen machal." You don't have to impose the fast on them. Ein ma inui is a fast. V'nisva is not shosechem. So you don't have to. You don't have to impose that fast on them. Tinokos are little children. Aval b'chamchnos al feisham finishasayim. But you are mechanech them a year or two before. A year or two before. And then the Gemara gets involved in the details of what that means. The last year or two before bar mitzvah or bas mitzvah, you're going to have them fast fully. For the preceding year or two before, you're going to have them fast l'sha'os. They're going to fast part of the day. It depends how healthy they are. Depends how strong they are. Depends how well fed they are. And that's a lot of important details in in the Gemara that follows this Mishnah. But again, here we have another Mishnah that states explicitly that there is a chiyuv of chinuch katan b'mitzvahs. Also mentions that there are ages. Obviously, for fasting, the question of age is going to be unique, because it's not just a question to be able to understand what the mitzvah is, but there's a physical health piece that may be dangerous to fast at too young an age. But there is going to be a time before bar mitzvah when the child is going to be fasting. Again, as we said, the Gemara breaks down further into right before bar mitzvah or bas mitzvah is a full tannis, and before then there's going to be a period of time, a year or two, when the child is fasting l'sha'os, a number of hours, and then before that, there's no fasting whatsoever. So those are the two Mishnais, Mishnah and Yuma, Mishnah and Sukkah, both speak about the Chiyuv Chinuch, both speak about ages and details. Clearly this is a well-defined Chiyuv of Chinuch Katan B'mitzvahs. Let me just, before we go on, to dig a little further and to open up a question that we're going to have to continue to think about tomorrow. To frame this, before you start asking kashas, just to define this concept a little more of Chinuch Katan B'mitzvahs, Rabbi Shechter, when he gives shiurim on this topic of Chinuch Katan B'mitzvahs, is want to point out, I've said several times the last couple of minutes that this is a Din Drabanan. Chinuch Katan B'mitzvahs, Din Drabanan. That's a Gemara in Brachas. Talks about Ketanim being only Jabanon. Shechter likes to point out, the Chafetz Chaim writes in one of his Svarim that sometimes people make the mistake of thinking that Chinuch is purely Derabanon. My mitzvahs, the parent might say, I'm an adult, I'm a gadol, my mitzvah d'raisa, but be mechanach the child, that's the only Jabanon. The Chafetz Chaim points out that's true, sort of. And let's sort of define what it is, the scope of what we're talking about. The Chafetz Chaim points out that what we're talking about here, Chinuch Katan B'mitzvahs, is having the child actually perform mitzvahs b'katnus. The requirement for a 11-year-old boy to actually pick up lulav and esrog on sukkahs, that's the only drabbanon. The requirement for an 11-year-old girl, for a 12-year-old boy, to fast a Yom Kippur, that's to actually go through the motions of the mitzvah, that's drabbanon, that's what we're talking about. But the chiyuv to teach your child so that when he's a gadol, he'll know what to do, when he'll know what to do and he'll be inspired to do, chinuch in the sense of teaching, that's daraisa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Chumash Bereishis is already praise Avraham Avinu. Ki yidativ l'ma she'etzava es banon es beis ha'acharav. Baruch Shalom says, I know that Avraham Avinu has a great avos Hashem, great love for me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, because not only is he doing mitzvahs himself, but he's training his household to follow. The chiyuv to teach children, to train them mentally, and to inspire them emotionally and spiritually, so that when they'll become gedolim, they'll want to and know how to keep mitzvahs, that's a chiyuv daraisa. That sense of chinuch, of teaching and educating and inspiring ketanim, that is daraisa. What we're talking about here, our sugya, chinuch ketanim and mitzvah, specifically in the sense of the children actually performing the mitzvah, the chiyuv for the child to do the mitzvah as a katan, that is drabanan, and that is what's attested to, that's what's recorded in these two Mishnais. The Mishnah doesn't just say you should teach your child about, talk to him about the shaking lulav. It says you have to actually have him, he's chayev lulav, he has to shake lulav himself. The boy or the girl under bar bas mitzvah, they need to not just learn about Yom Kippur and know that when they become bar bas mitzvah, they'll need to keep it, that's daraisa. But to actually do it now, that's derabbanan. So that's our topic of study. Give me a show of hands. How many of you had the chance to see the Gemara on Yevamos Daf Kuf Yudalad? A quick show of hands. Okay. Gevaldik. Can someone tell me? What were the eight words? What was the eight-word phrase that Gemara had? Noam? Gevaldik. Katan ochel nevelos. A child is eating treif. Like we were talking about earlier when we get into Seder. Right? The 10-year-old boy is sitting there eating. 10-year-old boy with yarmulke and tzitzis. A 10-year-old girl dressed b'tznius is sitting and munching on a bag of utz pork rinds. Mamish, chazer treif. Literally, chazer treif. A 10-year-old boy, 11-year-old girl, eating a cheeseburger. Katan ochel mevelas. The kid is eating, under my mitzvah, eating treif. Ein bezin mitzuvin lafrisho. Gemara, it says on top of a kufi dal ma'alf and yavamas, it appears elsewhere. The Gemara on Yavamas kufi dal ma'alf, the Gemara says, Ein bezin mitzuvin lafrisho. All the rabbis of the town are there, and they see the kid is, the fact that you have an 8-year-old child who's eating on Yom Kippur, so that's not so surprising, eating kosher food on Yom Kippur. But then they notice the kid's outside of shul. He stepped outside, take off his mask, he's eating a cheeseburger. So the Gemara says, don't say anything. Ain't based on mitzvah in our free show. You're not obligated to stop him. Lahafrish would be to separate him from the treifas. Not mechuyev to separate him from the treifas. Not mechuyev to separate him from the treifas? Tosfos Yeshayahu said, what are you talking about? Tosfos Yeshayahu, in the margin of the Gemara Yuma, right over here, the Im Tomar, the second Kasha, right? This is on the Mishnah, again, commenting on the Mishnah. The Mishnah had said, and the Gemara expanded further, that there's a chiyuv of being mechanach a child to do mitzvahs. Specifically, the example the Mishnah is talking about in Yuma is fasting. So I have to insist that my children who will be soon bar bas mitzvah, I have to insist that they fast on Yom Kippur. I have to see to it that they fast on Yom Kippur. So first he has a kasha from Nazir. We're not going to focus on that. Let's jump into the second kasha. The Im Tomar, like eight, nine lines down. And again, in the margin, outside margin, excuse me, the inside margin. Yuma Pebez Amanalf, on the shared screen. The Im Tomar, the Harmrian, Hadarmrian, Bechol Duchta. He says, it says in every place. Interesting, it says in every place. Not exactly sure what all of the places that the Tosfos Yeshayahu was referring to. It may be reflected elsewhere. Maybe other sugyas that reflect this. But primarily, it's Yevamos Daf Kuf Yudalid Amud Aleph. But the Gemara does say, certainly there, in that sugya, top of Kuf Yudalid Amud Aleph, and they tell you on the side, Masoros HaShas says, it's also Gemara on Shabbos, also Gemara on Gittin. Maybe that's what he meant by b'chol duchta, in every place. Duchta is a word for place, like asra. Both are Aramaic words for muckle. Hadamrin b'chol duchta, we find in various places in Shas. Here we go. The eight-word phrase that Noam quoted before. Katan, ochel, mevelos, ein, bezim, mitzuvin, lafrisho. So it says, Tosfos Yeshayahu. What happened to Chinuch? In Mishnayis. That was a Gemara. That was Amoraim in Yevamos. What do they do with the two Mishnayos? They can't just ignore the Mishnayos. And Tosfos Yeshayahu doesn't just ask it as a straight kasha. They actually make it into Kal V'chomer. Because they use the word Hashta. Hashta! Look here, Tosfos Yeshayahu says. Now, Chanuchei Mechanchinon, we have to mechanech him. We have to have him do mitzvahs. We have to have the child. We even have to have the child fast Yom Kippur. We even have to have, we go out of our way to actively induct the child into mitzvahs, to make sure the child's shaking a little bit, to make sure the child's wearing tzitzis, to make sure the boy or girl are fasting. We go out of our way to actively make sure that they are keeping halacha. Afrushe mi sur mi baya, a shayla. You see the kid eating treif, you're not going to stop him. You even have him do mitzvahs. Certainly you have to stop him from doing aveira. Right? A strong kasha. No? Shocking. Where did that come from? It's against the Mishnayis. It's against Kol Torah Kula. There are many Gemaras all over Shas. We have two Mishnayis and plenty of Abraises and Gemaras that assume that there's a concept of chinuch katan b'mitzvahs. Then we have this Gemara Yevamos. Just ignores it. The kids he's eating utz pork rinds. You don't have to stop him. Chinuch. And, as we stressed, Tosfos Yeshayahu's kasha is not just a straight kasha, but kal v'chomer. In other words, they're assuming that it's more obvious that there should be chinuch on afrushe me isura on stopping the child from doing avera, that's even strong, ought to be even stronger than being mechanachim in mitzvos. So that's the hanacha of the kasha. If there's chinuch, there should certainly be chinuch on averos and even on mitzvos. Now the Tos Hashem gives two terutzim. We're going to have to dig into them in greater detail tomorrow. The second one has to do with who is the chiyuv. Shimon had asked before, does this chiyuv apply to us? I'm a single guy, so there's a not. It's not my child. So that's the second teres that Tos Hashem gives. Maybe chinuch is only on the father. Ain't based in Mitzuvin Lafrisho, but if the father was there, he would have to stop him. Which just seems sort of strange still. It doesn't sit well with us. Really? I mean, I see someone else's 10-year-old child eating treif, and I could just sort of let that slide? Seems sort of odd. Okay, we'll have to come back to dig into that. But for now, I just want to show you the first teretz. The first teretz is Rabbi Eliezer Mimitz, one of the early, very early Balyatosos from Ashkenaz, from Germany as opposed to from France. He wrote, famous for a sefer, Yireyim, Yud Resh Aleph Yud Mem. It's a little confusing because his name, Rabbi Eliezer Mimitz, Rosh HaTevas Resh Aleph Mem. So sometimes he's referred to as the Yireyim because of his sefer. Sometimes he's referred to as the Re'im, Resh Aleph Mem, because of his name. Either way, same person, Rabbi Eliezer of the town of Mitz. He said, look at this, Teretz. Chinuch lo shayach el shiyasa mitzvah, velo parushe me'isura. The difference between whether is chinuch and whether is not chinuch is not a question, as the second Teretz says, of who's the adult in the room. Is it the father or is it the Beis Din, some other adult? But rather, what's the content? Rabbi Eliezer Mimitz says, a question whether mitzvah or iser, there's only chinuch on mitzvahs, but there's no chinuch on isurim. He says, fast Yom Kippur, that's a mitzvah. Ki ma mitzvah, nisim nafshoseichem. All the examples in Sukkah, that long brisa in Sukkah, were lulav, and tzitzis, and Talmud Torah, tefillin, all mitzvos, all kiyume mitzvahs essay. So it says the Yireyim, chinuch is only on mitzvah say, not on mitzvos lo say. And let me leave you with two clear questions against this first answer. Again, Tosi Shamed raised a stira, a massive stira. How do you have a Gemara in Yuvamus Kuf Yudal? It appears in Shabbos, getting good, a Gemara in several places. The child eating the veilus, Bezin just lets him go. What happened to chinuch? Astira, is there chinuch or is there not chinuch? We have two Mishnais and many Gemaras that there's such a thing as chinuch katan mitzvahs, but we have this Gemara Yevamis that seems to ignore it. So what's the answer? So the second answer to Yishanim is, depends who's the adult. Chinuch is only a chiyuv on the father, not on the other adults. Okay. The first, we'll have to deal with that more. The first answer is, no, chinuch is only on mitzvahs, not on isurim. Kan och nevelos. It's because the kid's eating treif. If the kid was sitting there without tzitzis, we would tell him to wear tzitzis. When the kid hasn't shaken luluv yet, anyone would tell him, you got to shake luluv. But because it's aveira, there's no chinuch on aveiras. Anything strike you as strange or difficult about that? Good. So kasha number one, Oriel says, mitzvahs and averos are both part of Judaism, as in doing mitzvahs and avoiding averos are both part of yahadus. So, sorry for that brief intermission. Sorry, some of you guys were distracted. As Oriel was asking just a moment ago, number one, what's the svara? Why should you be mechalek? Which is the question we'll have to ask about both of these terutzim. We'll have to ask about the second terutz. Why should it be that chinuch only is relevant if the father is there, not if the bezin is there? Okay. if I see one of you, if you see me accidentally violating a halacha, there's a mitzvah of tochacha. You have to point it. By the way, gotta be careful. That actually, that doesn't have a good hashgacha. Those are pork rinds, not potato chips. Oh, I didn't realize. So why shouldn't that be true for the katan also? We'll have to get back to that. But getting back, but as Oriel said, even more pointedly, why? What's the svara to say there's chinuch by mitzvahs but not by isurim? Why? They're both part of yadus. And Tani. Okay, good. Tan is a big lamdan. So the point on Minchas Chinuch has a big klar, whether eating outside the sukkah is eating the sukkah mitzvah a kiyama mitzvah, or is eating outside the sukkah an iser. So that's interesting. So the Tosfos Yerushalmi seems to be assuming the sukkah is a mitzvah essay. It's a good, we have to, when you get to that Minchas Chinuch, you have to shalt suv. That's a very good point. And then, Rabbi Yisai, you should be so bothered, because the kasha was a line earlier. Oh, if there's chinuch even on mitzvah, certainly on isurim. That was the way the kasha was phrased. The assumption, default assumption being, isurim are more chomer, and indeed they are. You don't get malchus for violating a mitzvah saseh. You do get malchus often for violating a mitzvah lo saseh. Lavin are, there are many rites, we can talk about tomorrow, that violating lav is more severe than being mevatel mitzvah saseh. So the kasha was a good kasha. If there's even a chinuch on mitzvah saseh, certain mitzvah lo saseh. So what does Yerushalmi say? No, there's only chinuch mitzvah saseh, not mitzvah lo saseh. But he doesn't bother to explain. What do you mean? You just flip the logic of the kasha. You change the premise of the kasha. Why? It was a good logical point. Isurim are more chamer. So then, as Ariel pointed out, even if they're the same, why should one be mechalik? And certainly, if until the teretz we were assuming that lavin are more chamer than mitzvah saseh, and therefore if there's chinuch mitzvah saseh, there's certainly chinuch on lavin. How do you then just turn around and say, no, actually, there's only chinuch mitzvah saseh. Why? Why? So we have two teretzim to the kasha, two chilukim. Either chinuch only applies to mitzvahs, the Yerayim, or the second teretz, the Yitosis Yisharim's Rebbe, the chinuch only applies to the father. Both require explanation. And we're going to, and the first teretz in particular is not just explanation, but it's shver. We'll work on answers mitzvah tomorrow, and we will see that in trying to understand each of these answers, we're going to come to each one of these Rishonim is taking a stand on larger issues, and we're seeing how they intersect with chinuch. So we will pick up with this in Mirtz Hashem tomorrow.